Hello. Welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
President Michael Howard said that America should topple the Arbenz government, not secretly.
Like a great bird in the blue sky, or a blue ocean, civilized men fly!
Bomb, repeat, bomb, repeat, bomb!
For bloody clouds and beautiful rainbows, with the power and the speed and the will to succeed! The rubble and the mud.
Bomb, repeat, bomb, repeat, bomb.
No need for face to face, or even worse, to put a perfectly spit shot to a brand new leather boots on the dirty, dusty ground.
Bomb.
Oh, sure, you could mobilize a million troops. Although a club, that's my time. That's that in my A time. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang. Slang time. That's that in my A time. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang. Yeah, we got God down, we got you. Every day thinking about how we get through. Everything I own is on I owe you. But I'm here bringing y'all something new. You don't like the people, then they like you. Then they're gonna send it off with the big boo. Son in the battle, it's a son and daughter too. What you wanna talk about? Who done who? What you wanna talk about? Slang time, that's that in my A time. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang. Slang time.
We'll be right back. prefer punk, and mixed media prefer neither. So what do you describe your music as?
Call it spiritual inoculation.
Soldiers on a combat mission.
Mighty for their humanity!
We can do it, but we have to do it together.
Do what?
Total assault on the culture by any means necessary. The end of America as we have known it.
Can't you see it now? As if it were almost tomorrow?
I saw America crumbling and crumbling soon. Right on!
So turn yourself around. Turn yourself on.
Let's go. We don't have much time.
Shoulder to shoulder,
right.
Heart to heart,
thousands of
a completely new weapon.
Shoulder to shoulder,
right.
Heart to heart,
our war won't end till all war cease.
Shoulder to shoulder,
right.
Heart to heart,
he who had been a passenger was now the captain.
Shoulder to shoulder,
right.
Heart to heart,
we need each other.
Shoulder to shoulder,
right.
Heart to heart,
thousands of
a complete a new weapon.
Shoulder to shoulder,
right.
Heart to heart,
our war won't end till all war cease.
Shoulder to shoulder,
right. Heart to heart.
Hey there, ladies, gentlemen, prairie dogs. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. Why is this microphone not going loud? There we go. That is there. Unfortunately, a much shorter and mellow song by Please Inform the Captain. This is a hijack. Usually they're a little bit more punkified. For that, we had the Au Pairs. I'm actually not even sure how to pronounce that word. It's A-U-P-A-I-R-S. You know, it means, you know, nanny. Somebody takes care of the kids, I think. And, but yeah, I'm not sure how one says it. But they had a song called America, which was very nice. Talking about some of the American history, which many of us don't choose to remember. But the Au Pairs, a punk band from early 80s, my understanding is the lead singer was a out lesbian, which is fairly rare at that point in time. But I'll be playing more of them in the near future. For that, we had MIA doing Pull Up the People. We started off with a little quirky one by Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, Bomb Repeat Bomb, 1954. I don't know what the 1954 has to do with anything, but it's in the title. I'm Jake. I'm tired. I had a one of those weeks, you know. Starts off, things are going fine. Then just like a little bit of bad stuff happens, and everything just kind of like seems to drag on and be very long for you after that. Have a... Well, let's see. I'll do my... I believe they call this part of the radio show the Billboard, where you talk about what will be happening on the show. I will be playing music of various styles, as well as discussing political issues, such as the new Bush budget, which in a very explicit and ridiculous way takes money away from social programs and puts it into the pockets of rich families. And I don't mean rich families like, you know, the guy with the big house down the street. I mean like the family who owns a fleet of corporate jets and a chain of big box stores and several islands in the Pacific or Atlantic oceans. Talk a little bit about the resurgence of Al-Qaeda. Apparently, there's some news stories out saying that they're back again. The band is reunited. That's not good. A couple of student protests going on. The merger between the satellite radio companies. Possibly some talk about religion. I don't know that I've discussed religion much on the show in general. Of course, it's fun and easy to talk about individual religious nuts. You know, your Falwells and your Swaggerts and your... who was that guy who was having sex with a male prostitute and now says he's all cured of the gay? I forget his name. Haggerty? I want to say that. I guess it's Haggerty out of Colorado. But I want to talk a little more in general about religion, because actually there is a number of the lefty bloggers are discussing it at the moment. Thought I'd put in my two cents. A little bit about various media nutty things, you know, the obsession with celebrity, a little bit about, I saw a discussion about the show 24 and torture, that might be worth a mention or two. And then the mass exodus in the works of foreign troops from Iraq. Not American foreign troops, of course. Other nations. But first, fun little story. I was driving home today, got myself some lunch, and I'm driving back home, and I'm getting off the freeway, and on the off-ramp in front of me, there's a big blue pick-em-up truck, GMC, I believe. Not super huge, not one of those that you just look at with bewilderment and say, you know, why does anybody need a car that big? Nor was it a monster truck that was jacked up on wheels that were, you know, 5 feet tall or anything like that. Just a biggish pickup truck. And I notice on the back of the truck, the guy has two of those magnetic support our troops ribbons. Not the yellow ones, the ones that it's just, it looks like the American flag cut into that shape, which it kind of probably is, and maybe that's, disrespect for the flag, maybe. So he's got two of those on the back of the truck, and in between these two ribbons, he has I'm not sure if it's a decal or a painting of a bald eagle. To you foreigners, you probably know, American eagle, the bald eagle is the symbol of America. It's our national animal. Of course, it probably should instead be some sort of pig, vulture. I'm not sure what animal best symbolizes the United States at this point. Maybe some sort of fat bear. I'm not sure. So he's got the two stars and stripes, support our troops, magnetic ribbons, and in between he has the picture of a bald eagle, but the bald eagle's head is not covered with white feathers, as usually one would see a bald eagle, except you rarely see them because I think they're endangered. But we see the bald eagle, the white part of his head is actually also has the pattern of the American flag on it. Now, on the back of the back window of this pickup truck, there's this mural or decal, probably a see-through decal, that like from the outside it's opaque and the inside he can see through it so he can see who's behind him on the road, is this mural decal of a bald eagle looking angry. It's an angry bald eagle, and there was some writing next to the bald eagle when I was too far away, and as the guy turns, I see on the side of his truck, I see another Stars and Stripes magnetic ribbon attachment, and I say, I have to follow this guy. I have to, at the very least, see all of what he has on this truck. I have to see what other adornments are on it. And if possible, I would like to see what this man looks like. So I follow him, probably a couple miles. That probably sounds creepy and stalkerish, but I just wanted to get a joke for the show out of this. So I get a better look at the car when the guy parks and I drive past. So keeping tallies, he has two Stars and Stripes magnetic ribbons on the back of the truck, two on each side of the truck, which gives us a total of six magnetic Stars and Stripes ribbons on the car. A bald eagle on the tailgate of the truck, a bald eagle on the window of the truck, and then on each side of the truck, between the other magnetic ribbons, there's another decal that is in the shape of a bald eagle's head, and then it's like some sort of fireball bald eagle, and it's the head of the bald eagle with flames trailing behind it, but the flames are not red, orange, and yellow, as one normally sees fire. The flames are the stars and stripes of the American flag. So, grand total then, one pickup truck, six magnetic stars and stripes ribbons, and four bald eagles, three of whom have stars and stripes on their heads, two of which are on fire. This man feels strongly about America, about the flag, about bald eagles, and about fire. And I did, when the guy got out of the car, you know, I was wondering if he was going to be some, you know, big, tough Marine. I was guessing he was going to be white, and I was guessing it was going to be a male driver. I was correct. White man, mustache, kind of older, probably 50, 55, I'm guessing. Bit of a paunch on him, you know, but I can't really talk with regards to that. But Yeah, you know, with all that aggressive Americana on the car of screaming bald eagles and fire and flags, he looked pretty average, except mustaches are not really in fashion anymore. My father has a mustache, but he's had it for, like, you know, since I was a kid. He's had the mustache over 30 years. And then apart from that, you really only see, in the U.S., you see mustaches on police officers, usually, which, again, if anybody has the answer to this question, why do so many cops have mustaches, I would love to hear it, because it's just weird to me. So, yeah, crazy truck guy. Oh, and I also did notice it looked like on the front window of the truck, there was a decal that I believe is one of those decals that you have to put on your car when you work for the U.S. government or the military and you need to go park, you know, on the base or in some, it would be like an employee parking sticker, but only for government officials and possibly military officials. I'm not quite recollecting properly. But, God bless you, blue truck driving, red stars and stripes, eagle fireman. You know, I think there's so much patriotism on that one car. If that guy, if something happened to him, this country will fall. There's no two ways about it. Anyhow. Did I mention I'm tired? I wonder if I'm making sense today. Got some music for you. This is going to be Dvachka, the interesting band whose style of music I really can't explain. It's such a mishmash of things. Sort of gypsy mariachi world pop ballad stuff. But this is off of their, I think it's an EP of theirs called Curse Your Little Heart. Is that it? Yes, Curse Your Little Heart. Song called I Cried Like a Silly Boy. And here's that song. Again, having technical difficulties on the radio, on the computer we got here, sadly. So I cannot play my wide variety of background music. Instead, we get the, as last week, we get the John Coltrane CD in the back, which maybe makes me seem cooler or classy or something. Anyhow, I'm Jake, Lime Media Bastard Show. I'm not even going to pretend that folks are listening live anymore. Maybe I'll just give up on that myth. I know I have a very, very small listener base for the live show and a much larger one for the podcast after the fact recorded downloading crew. So I'll just tell you about it. If you want to contact me, send me an email. Jake@lyingmediabastards.com. Shouldn't be too hard to remember. Yeah, if you want to make a comment, tell me I'm wrong, tell me I'm funny, give me a snippet of news that you think I should cover on the show, please do. It always helps out. Inform the masses, even if it's a very small mass of masses. And if you have a song, and I'm always asking, if somebody's got a good political song, email me and tell me what it is. Or if you want to send me the whole song, you got it on your hard drive or your iPod or something, you want to just email it to me. I got a Gmail account for those big sort of things. lmbradio@gmail.com. Just drop it in the interwebs, and I will get it. Anyhow, thanks for listening. Here's the music.
day I left you, got on the bus, I knew I'd see you, you knew I'd see you, still you cried, and now I know why. Ain't it too bad, I loved you so much, losing your city.
Leopard spaces.
hanging from the garbage mantras. Mouthwash, jukebox, gasoline. Pistols are pointing at a poor man's pockets. Smiling eyes ripping out of the sockets. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. 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 Love machines on the sympathy crutches. Discount orgies on the dropout buses. Hitching a ride with the bleeding noses. Coming to town with the briefcase blues. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut in my mind. Got a devil's haircut. Thank you.
can you justify belief in a God that's left you behind? You've simply filled the gap between the upper and lower class, and your faith merely keeps you in line. In line. And Christian thought, what will that get you? Not a fuck of a lot. Take a look at your promised land. Your deed is that gun in your hand. Mount Zion's a minefield, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank. Bank, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, soon to be parking lots for American tourists, and fascist cops, yeah, fuck Zionism.
Hey there, folks, listening to the Lying Media Bastards show on Radioactive San Diego. That just there was Propagandhi doing their oh-so-subtle song, Fuck Religion. Before that, we had Sonic Youth doing JC, Beck with the Devil's Haircut, another Sonic Youth song, Merry Christ. Actually, that was not the one I'd wanted to play, but I couldn't figure out the title of the one I wanted to play, so you get two Sonic Youth songs for the price of one. Let me start that off with Dvachka doing I Cried Like a Silly Boy. So that Fuck Religion helps lead into my discussion of religion. Like many people, well, I won't even say that. I got mixed feelings on religion. So on the one hand, I don't care what people believe. You know, you want to believe in Jesus or Muhammad or, the Torah or Buddha or whatever. Doesn't affect me. You can believe what you want. But at the same time, it seems silly to me. Exquisitely silly that somebody hands you a book and says, there's the absolute truth in here. And you say, who wrote it? God wrote it. Oh, how do you know that? Because it says so on page 25. And the fact that you take a book to be truth because the book tells you that it's the truth, there's a logical flaw there, if you ask me. Well, okay, don't ask me. There's a logical flaw there. I'll just leave it. I'll take a strong stance. Something logically wrong with just agreeing that this book has truth in it. Because most other books folks are a little more skeptical about. Oh gosh, this book says it's the truth, but it's written by John Grisham. I don't know anything about this John Grisham character. I will be skeptical of what he tells me. And I will certainly not try to live my entire life by his teachings. Now, of course, very much against the folks who will try to impose their religion and their religious beliefs and practices on others. That's a very wrong thing. Even worse, the people who try to put various forms of oppression and social control on people under the disguise of religion. Not actually even, you know, whether or not they actually believe in this, the holy books and scriptures and whatnot that they claim to be believing in. There are folks who will abuse the faith of others. And so there's that. Again, on the one hand, my initial reaction, I want to be tolerant. I don't want to tell people how to live their lives or what to think or what to believe. Very much against it when somebody tries to do the same thing to me, but I still have this general feeling that religion is ridiculous. On top of that, many forms of the religions we see just seem so harmful. You know, how many people, you know, I forget the numbers in the U.S., you know what, 80% consider themselves to be Christian, something like that? And in that religion, if you believe in Jesus, you go on to paradise from after this life. I guess there's variations, but, you know, that's the general feeling of Christianity. Believe in Jesus, go to heaven. Don't believe in Jesus, go to hell. And so many people are not living their lives or are accepting of shitty lives that they've got now, thinking, well, you know, I'm going to go to heaven after this. You know, they'll put up with crap rather than trying to change their own lives or change their own society. I think it breeds this, willingness to suffer because you think there's something good coming out the other side of it. Obviously, sometimes you can get to a better result through suffering or strife or whatever, but it's not inherently going to happen. And then, if you've got these religions where there is a single authority, there is a god, or even worse, there is a god and his earthly representatives who, you know, their word is absolute, their word, their will, their commands, these are truth. I think that also breeds some ugly stuff in people. Belief that there is one right way. The belief that some people should be obeyed without question. You know, it's bad for individuals, bad for societies, if you ask me. I've met some people, very good people who are religious. Some very smart people who are religious, although honestly, not a ton. And I know some people who've, their religion has, religious beliefs have pushed them on to some pretty wonderful things. You know, I know folks who, you know, obviously people talk about Martin Luther King and Gandhi. You know, their religious faith led them to have these peaceful, nonviolent resistance movements that ended up, freeing people from a huge amount of bondage and oppression. One friend of mine and his wife, now wife, they both became anti-sweatshop activists because of their Catholic beliefs. And then, you know, during the 1980s, there was actually an offshoot of Catholicism in Latin America called Liberation Theology, which argued that people should not have to suffer, that people should help each other out and not have to live under oppression. I believe the Pope was against liberation theology, as was I don't remember the name of the Pope now. Ratzinger, Rat somebody, Joey Ratz, whatever, Benedict something or other. The guy was the new Pope. I'm pretty sure that during the 80s he was they called him the Vatican's Rottweiler, something like that. But I think one of his jobs was to stamp down on religious leaders who espoused liberation theology. So, yeah. Not sure where I was going with all that. Maybe I got there already. yeah. Oh, and then I did read... I read a snippet of The End of Faith, a book by Sam Harris, where he argues that the human race cannot survive if religion survives. He argues that There's so much, you know, strife and misery and war and conflict that's caused by religion that the human race will destroy itself unless it, you know, destroys religion. And he had one funny little quote in there where he was saying, you know, some people, he was arguing against one point in favor of religion. The point in favor is the idea that religion can inspire people, you know, to do good things. You know, these holy books can, you know, make them want to rise up and do wonderful things and help their fellow man and you know, give them a passion to do something. But he says, you know, there's all sorts of books and art out there that can inspire people. It doesn't have to be a Bible or a Torah or a, you know, Quran. And then he does make the one funny point that, you know, the Bible says that it's written by God himself. Yet apparently God saw fit to make people like Shakespeare better writers than God himself. You know, just a little jab at the Bible, really, you know, saying, you know, Shakespeare and some of these other writers wrote really good stuff, and all the stuff they wrote is actually better written than the Bible. If God wrote the Bible, why is it such a bad work of literature? Which I find amusing. So there you go. I don't talk about religion too much. That's my basic stance. That, want to be tolerant. Think it's stupid. Think it's harmful. Probably ought to get rid of it. But let me get on to, a couple local events I should mention. Next Saturday? That doesn't sound right. Next Saturday, March 3rd, San Diego Indie Music Fest. Taking place right here in the North Park neighborhood in San Diego. From noon to midnight. 70 different performers at 7 different venues in the North Park area, including performances at the Rubber Rose by our pals, Carly and Leah. Actually, I also believe that later in March, some of our DJs are going to be spinning over there for an art event at for Women's History Month. It'll be an art exhibit and radioactive DJs performing for you. But San Diego Indie Music Fest, all sorts of bands playing. I'm unfamiliar with nearly all of them, but just some of the names that leap out at me: Michelle Shocked, Fishbone, let's see here, you know, I wonder if that's it. That might be everybody I know. Amandla, Ginger Shankar, Ginger Shankar, I'm not sure how that's pronounced. But I believe there is also involved, there's a film festival this year. I'm not sure where the films will be being shown. At Claire de Lune, I think, coffee house. But they mentioned some of the films, Machiopolis, Starved, The Edge of Each Other's Battles, Creating a Place at the Table, Invisible Children, Look Us in the Eye, and Leading the Way to Peace are all films that will be shown as part of the Indie Music Fest. I believe tickets for the whole event are, let's see how much they are, $23 general, $20 for students and seniors with valid IDs. Kids who are under 5 yet love the indie rock, they get in for free. Of course, some sort of ridiculous VIP packages, which I won't even bother mentioning. Also, that same day, damn it, you know, I have to choose one or the other. The Cultivating Food Justice event, which I mentioned a week or two ago on here at City College. It is with Speaker Dolores Huerta from UFW, or formerly of UFW, I think, will be speaking. The keynote speaker, but all sorts of workshops about food and agriculture and food justice, as they say, is about everybody having the right to healthy food, and is about taking on big agribusiness and the agrochemical industry, you know, making all sorts of herbicides and whatnot that are affecting the food, or genetic engineered crops, the way that animals are treated, the way that our meat is treated, all of these things. It's by an organization that's being put on by San Diego Food Not Lawns. I believe there's a website for this event. You actually have to, limited seating, so you have to actually register to be a part. SDfoodnotlawns.com is the place to go. Or they got a phone number here, 619-641-7510, extension 244. I think I might try to get some of those folks on my show, talk about food. Anyhow, that's local stuff. But now I wanted to mention the Bush budget. Our pal Angry Man Matt Taibbi from Rolling Stone wrote an article called Medicare versus Britney, Why a Brainless Mouseketeer Gets More Ink Than the Federal Budget. And he starts off with, I will back up. This article is largely based on a press release, or an attempted press release by Bernie Sanders, Congressman Bernie Sanders' office. Or is he a senator now? Senator Bernie Sanders, who's officially an independent in the Congress, but really he's pretty much a socialist. And I don't mean that in sort of like, oh, those damn lefties are pinko socialist gay people. I mean literally socialist. Although he has to say he's an independent because, you know, Americans are terrified of, anything that doesn't have the word freedom in it these days. But, so, it's this article where Matt Taibbi is talking about how this incredibly important research and press release by Bernie Sanders people analyzing the proposed Bush budget for this year, 2008 budget, I guess the next year budget, how it got almost no coverage, and he compares that to the amount of coverage being given to the fact that Britney Spears shaved her head. I will read the first bit. Now, and this is a quote at the beginning, now, after she shaved her head in a bizarre episode that culminates a months-long saga of controversial behavior, it's the question being asked by her fans, her foes, and the general public. What was she thinking? Bald and broken, inside Britney's shaved head, Sheila Marikar, ABC News, February 19th. And Taibbi responds, what was she thinking? How about nothing? How about who gives a shit? How's that for an answer, Sheila Marikar of ABC News? And he's just very angry about this. And I do like he had one quote here. Britney Spears cutting her hair off is the least worthy front page news story in the history of humanity. That's quite possibly true. the Anna Nicole Smith story. Also very, very pointless. It was astounding because, okay, I can see she was something of a celebrity, died in a bizarre fashion. Okay, I could see giving that a little news coverage. But they were also having news coverage showing the inside of her refrigerator as they speculated as to what she'd been eating or what drugs she'd been doing previous to her death. And then a headline-worthy, apparently, story about her relatives in court trying to figure out who had legal right to her body. I don't know what anybody cared about her body, at least certainly enough to go to court over it. You know, that's bizarre. And I will admit, the Britney Spears thing did catch my attention. It was like, wow, she's shaving her head? That seems like a poor career move for the gal. As her sort of celebrity persona is of young, sexy thing. Bald is not usually... And bald with tattoos on your head is not the mainstream view of sexy these days. But, anyhow. So, Taibbi begins the article angry about that sort of coverage. And then he moves on to this report about the Bush budget. And he compares in this budget how much the wealthy families will be gaining due to the Bush tax cuts over the next 10 years, and compares that to how much the Bush administration is cutting from social programs. So he begins by saying that the Walton family, who started Walmart, and you know they had Walmart and Sam's Club, those two huge chain stores, over the next 10 years, they will make $32.7 billion thanks to these tax cuts. Now, over the next 10 years, the Bush budget also proposes to cut $28 billion from Medicaid. So, the Waltons get $32 billion, and Medicaid loses $28 billion. So it looks almost exactly as though these programs are getting cut and then the money is getting sent over to the rich folks. More examples. We have, let's see, the, where did the name go? The he doesn't give the name of the family, but there's a family which apparently is the heirs to the Mars Candy Company. They will receive over the next 10 years $11.7 billion in tax breaks, and that's more than three times the amount that Bush wants to cut from the Veterans Administration budget over 10 years. He wants to cut $3.4 billion from the VA over the next 10 years and give nearly $12 billion back to the Mars family, Mars Candy family. Now, that's even worse when seeing the left-wing bloggers this past week have gone nuts because of reporting about Walter Reed, which is supposed to be one of the best military hospitals in the country for veterans, how the conditions there, reporters have found, are terrible, or at least for some people, terrible conditions, all sorts of neglect. So the fact that things would go that badly and Bush would say, let's cut money from the veterans' budget, kind of mind-blowing. The Cox family, which runs the Cox cable networks, the cable TV company, they will get $9.7 billion in tax breaks over the next 10 years, which is, looks like about six times as much as will be cut from the education budget, $1.5 billion. Let's see, the Ernest Gallo family, who make Gallo wines, they will get $468 million. And the government program, which gives heating oil to poor people, will be cut by $420 million. And then the one that sort of stands out as what would appear to be the worst of the bunch is Lee Raymond, who was the a CEO of ExxonMobil, who... when he retired from ExxonMobil as the CEO, he got a retirement package worth $400 million. He will get, over the next 10 years, $164 million in tax breaks. And in the Bush budget, they plan to entirely cut a program called the Commodity Supplemental Food Program, which only costs $108 million compared to the $164 million that Raymond will be getting in tax cuts. The Commodity Supplemental Food Program sends one bag of groceries per month to 480,000 senior citizens, mothers, and newborn children. It's very important that the CEO of ExxonMobil, who made his money gouging people on oil prices, who got a $400 million retirement package, it's more important that he get that... that $160 million in tax breaks. Less important that senior citizens and newborn children get groceries. He also mentions that the budget is, it's funny. It's so funny that the Republicans try to bill themselves as the party of fiscal responsibility, but the as compared to GDP, one of those economic figures for how much money the country makes, the spending in this new budget will be 1.6% of the GDP higher than it was in 2000 when Clinton was still in there. And that the revenues coming in will be 2.6% lower, 2.6% of the GDP lower than they were in 2000, which means fiscal responsibility, yeah. The Republican budget, the Bush budget, is spending more and earning less than under Clinton. Although Clinton was an evil man as well, I'm just saying. Anyhow, I will have to come back and talk more about things later, because I've talked a lot now. I got a song here I know very little about. It's odd, but it's good and drummy and dramatic. And it's by a band called Free Blood, and it's called WDWD, which I think stands for What Do We Do, but I will put that on now. Jake, Lang Media Bastard Show, thanks for listening.
If I don't get another chance, at least I have my peace. I've been hiding, yeah. I've been hiding, yeah. Yeah. I've been hiding. I ain't gonna hide no more.
because don't fight it with them.
Leroy Brown. Well, the smoke's so doggone thick, you could cut it with a knife. And the music's so loud, you can hear the same line twice. Hey, Leroy Brown, you like my big old pink limo? Just drawed all your money out of the bank today, honey. You don't have no more. Leroy Brown.
We're the cliche American backpackers, standing on the side of the road in the rain, with our cardboard sign written in black, Sharpie, that red Amsterdam. We were going to Amsterdam. So we weren't surprised by the looks of the eyes of the people in their cars when they passed us by, and they gave us the middle finger, or the thumbs up or the thumbs down. But we stayed tough, we stood our ground, and by the end of the afternoon, we got dropped off in the middle of this town. We'll tell you about the coffee shops, and everyone will tell you about the from you. There was the hippie, the one with the flute. Holding in his hands was my wish come true. And he hit me the whole thing. And this whole interaction felt much more like a dream. He was reading my mind, it seemed. Like a genie granting wishes for people on the street. And we never could have thanked him enough. I don't know if he knew how much it meant to us. And that night in a pit, we counted all our money. And we figured out how long we could stay. The way it looked to me, we could live here forever. Sleep in the campground, eat falafel every day. But that's not what we came here to do. We had so much more left to see. Although this place felt so nice, made our plans to leave. And we went to this park where they had free bikes at the gate. Spent the day riding through the trees and it felt great. We were offered a place to stay on the floor of someone's office, but we chose to sleep beside the interstate. And the sounds of the cars passing by put us right to sleep. Nothing beats laying right under the stars. And I always feel safe when you're sleeping beside me.
Sweat the arena.
Hey there, folks, ladies, gentlemen. That just there, of course, was Anthrax doing Got the Time. Before that, we had Ozzy Osbourne doing La Gallina. Again, not the song I was aiming for. I thought it was. There is a song on this new Ozzy Osbourne album, which I think comes out in 2 months, and I really don't know how somebody gave me a copy. But there is a song with that sort of... I'm gonna make myself look ignorant. I don't know what style of traditional Mexican music that is. I don't know if that was mariachi or banda or... No, I'm stupid. But there is a song on there that has that sort of music, and then somebody raps over part of it. And I thought that song was the one, which is kind of a cool mix of styles. But it wasn't. So perhaps some future week I will play that. Before that song, we had Ghost Mice doing Holland. Ghost Mice has an album out called Europe, where all of the songs are about just stories of them backpacking around to different parts of Europe. And some of them are sort of fun or touching sort of stories, and I kind of like that one about them hitchhiking to Amsterdam and the things that they liked about Amsterdam. And some old guy is a hippie, and they sort of write him off, and then he comes over and he brings them the French fries that they've been craving, and somebody offers to let them sleep in an office, but they decide to sleep by the freeway, and the sound of the cars lulls them to sleep. It's a nice little imagery travelogue thing. For that, Loretta Lynn doing Mrs. Leroy Brown. That is the album that she did with Jack White of the White Stripes, so it's a little bit more rockin', I think, than it might have been had she done the album on her own. Queens of the Stone Age, No One Knows. Breakestra doing Hiding, and we started off with Free Blood doing WDWD. A little bit ago, I was talking about the Anna Nicole Smith, Britney Spears news media thing, those stories get on the air. And some people really kind of blame the American people for that sort of thing. Oh, you guys, you want that celebrity gossip. You love that. You'd rather have that than real news. You deserve what you get. That angry Matt Taibbi piece I read earlier, actually, he almost argues in some points that Americans are so stupid, maybe they deserve to get ripped off in this colossal fashion. But I don't think it's that so much as we're easily distracted. You know, like I said, the Britney Spears thing popped up, and oh gosh, what is going on with that crazy pop star woman? I mean, that's a lot of the problem with the United States, with our culture, is that people are always trying to indulge our worst first inclinations. You know, the ads for beer, ads for fast food that's bad for us, ads telling us that we should not do something, we should instead watch television, shows that entertain rather than inform. All of those things are generally more pleasurable, and that's what the culture, the folks who make money off parts of the culture, they indulge that. Hey, you want a hamburger? I got a hamburger right here, and it's cheap. And you don't even have to get out of your fucking car. Just drive right up and give me the money. I'll give you a hamburger. You know, it's kind of like living in a world where everybody's a crack addict, and on every street corner, somebody's selling you cheap crack. Or advertising for cheap crack. And so what I'm thinking is, you know, and I think these sort of news stories, it's not that Americans really crave news stories about celebrities being killed and having their bodies fought over in the courts. It's that these stories, they get our attention. You know, we're doo-doo-doo, walking along. Oh, wait, here's a weird news story. Here's a gossipy thing, huh? So here's what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is that the American people need to get focused. We need to focus and we need to stay focused. So much distraction. So many people who are willing to give you the simple pleasures, simple immediate pleasures, and to get your money. I think we got to stay focused. Got to get some discipline, America. Got to think about what we really want and focus on it. And when something like this jumps out, hey, celebrity titties, or you know, the hey, weird scandally thing in trial and OJ and Michael Jackson's touching little boys and Brangelina, we got to say, You know, you got to teach a kid. Just like in the 80s, they taught us kids to just say no if someone's coming up with drugs. America's got to learn to just say no to stupid, distracting shit. It's important. We've got to do it. Yes. Iraq War. I have to mention, while the Bush team is talking about the importance of the surge, the fact that we need to have 20,000 more troops in there, and that'll make everything all better forever, all these other countries are pulling their troops out now. First, of course, we had the news about the UK. They're pulling their troops out of southern Iraq. I believe they're talking about going down from like 7,000, like 14,000 to 7,000, or some huge drop like that. But now Denmark is announcing that it will withdraw its ground troops. Lithuania, they only have 53 soldiers there, but they're talking about pulling out perhaps. Romania is going to soon make a decision about whether or not they will keep their 600 soldiers. Poland has announced they will bring home their 900 soldiers by the end of the year. And Italy, Spain, Ukraine, Japan, and New Zealand have already taken their troops out. South Korea is talking about withdrawing half of their troops by April. And the South Korean parliament is calling for an end of, or a complete pullout by the end of the year. So that makes Bush look bad. Also wanted to mention here, this is, I think, on my website, I haven't on here talked about the merger, the union of XM Satellite Radio and Sirius Satellite Radio. I often wondered if there was enough demand for two entire networks of a huge amount of satellite radio programming. So it always looked to me, and I don't think that either business is actually turning a profit yet. So perhaps if they merge, the combined revenues of both companies could make one or the other profitable. But the FCC has to investigate whether or not this is a violation of competition, which it clearly is. It's a monopoly. It means there will be one satellite radio company and no more. I believe that actually these first two companies were not allowed to even begin broadcasting. I believe there were regulations that said only if there's more than one company. I think if one company came forward and said, I want to do this, I believe they were going to get a no answer from regulators. But, where was I going? Oh, yes. But the satellite radio companies are, of course, arguing that their competition is not just other satellite radio companies. Their competition market includes regular radio and internet radio, like you're listening to now, podcasts, like you're listening to now, CDs and internet and whatever. So they're trying to argue that it's not a restraint of competition for them to merge because they have to compete with all other audio entertainment. And knowing our stalwart government, I'm sure they will agree with that. But going along with that, there's an article posted on MediaGeek. MediaGeek, also a media-related radio show. Paul Riesmandel out of Illinois. Illinois. But he has an article up that talks about a different form of competition. He talks about how there's this idea that necessarily when you add competition, when you add competitors and other businesses into the marketplace, that's inherently good, prices will go down, service will improve. This is the capitalistic myth. That's the entire thing that capitalism is based on, this idea that the more folks fighting for your dollar, the better the quality of the products and the cheaper the price. He tells a little story here about Montgomery County, Maryland, where they had the main cable provider there was Comcast. Comcast had a cable thing going. And then Verizon, the phone provider, fought for the right to also provide television entertainment over their phone lines, over fiber optics. And they finally got permission to, and I guess there's a third cable company there called RCN. I don't know their story so much. But he just gives a brief thing here where he says Verizon started offering their video service in November, And since they started that up, they've raised prices by 7.6%. Despite the fact that there's more competition in the area, Comcast on March 1st is raising their rates 4%. And last month, this RCN company raised their rates 15%. So somehow, the increased competition has also increased prices. Now, I don't understand, in a capitalist economy, how that works. Prices always go down. Things always get better. Capitalism's the best way to do everything. I'm going to start charging my children for breakfast. It will improve everyone's life. So, yeah. There's that crap. And perhaps we will see something similar with the XM and Sirius. You know, that would just be... Granted, since they're not making a profit, perhaps they won't have the balls to try to pull it off. But I could honestly see them saying, well, you know, we've got twice as much programming since we got two networks, so we're going to start charging you more money. We'll see. Also, in media-related news, there's a special on PBS, a very long special about the media and the war. And the way that people tried to manipulate the news and harass the journalist world and all that. It's all available online. I haven't watched it yet, but I'll post a link on my site because I think it's probably a good thing to see. And then a final media thing, 24, the television show. I saw one, it was an opinion article that somebody wrote about how 24 was this terrible thing because it's always about torturing people. And how the torture always works, and you know that it's a pro-torture sort of show, and that's why it's bad. Now, apparently, the person who wrote this piece had not actually seen that many episodes of 24, so they didn't really know what they were talking about. The show's slightly more complicated than that. Sometimes the torture works, and sometimes it doesn't. And in a little interesting twist, Jack Bauer, the hero of the show, I have not seen this season myself, but it says that my understanding is that this season that Jack Bauer was going to interrogate somebody with his usual torture methods, and it's always they have to torture them because it's so urgent. The bomb's going to go off in 45 minutes. We need the answers. We've got this guy captured right here. We've got to do whatever we can to get the answers. But my understanding is that the Jack Bauer was about to torture somebody, but could not make himself do it because in the storyline of the show, he spent the past 2 years being tortured himself, being a prisoner of the Chinese government who were angry at him for some reason or another. He was tortured, and he learned his lesson. He was not able to torture anybody else. But it just got me thinking about this show. The fact that, the torture, usually, generally speaking, we like to think the people who torture other people are bad people. It's a general American belief in the culture. People who torture are bad. Something that we see, that's something the terrorists do, it's something the mafia does, something criminals do, it's something terrorists do, something the Nazis do, something fascists do. And it just got me thinking that in all of these episodes where there is this torture, whether or not the torture is successful or not, the good guys are the ones doing the torture, which is this huge flip. And also it's that the people who are being tortured, the victims of torture, are the bad guys. So it's this amazing justification of torture. It's a blame the victim thing is what I'm getting at. Is it reminds me of in other societies, in Nazi Germany, they did all these horrible things to the Jews and the Gypsies and the homosexuals by blaming them. Oh, the Jew, the blood-sucking Jew, the Jewish parasite that's trying to take over the world. They want to destroy us here in Germany, the Jews. Us torturing them and putting them in camps and mass exterminating them. They had it coming. And just this, and that happens so often. That, you see that among people who are powerful. They begin to feel that the people that they treat badly deserve the bad treatment. Something inherent about them. That they are inferior or bad or immoral and they deserve the bad treatment. And 24 is basically saying that the people who do the torturing are on the side of right, and the victims of that torture are bad people. Again, the show does put a little bit more complexity into it than that. You know, I believe there have been times when innocent people have been tortured and it was seen as a bad thing, or when, you know, somebody tortured somebody else and got, you know, that was a bad thing. It hurt them as, you know, like, mentally they were fucked up because they tortured somebody or whatever. But still, kind of a disturbing thing that the TV show frequently acts as though people who are victims of torture deserve to be tortured. That's the point I'm saying. Anyhow, my show's just about done. Let me get a little bit more music on here for you. You know, the song I got queued up is long. I don't know if I want to play that one. I think I will swap it out. Well, I don't know. The song I might swap it out with. I've been in a metal mood lately. And the song keeps jumping into my head by Slayer. Perhaps I can either play Slayer, Raining Blood, or I can play PJ Harvey and John Parrish's Is That All There Is. You know, I think I got time for both. Let's start with the drama. I think the Slayer song starts with thunder and lightning. So let us begin. Let me bring down the lightning! And I'll see y'all next week. Thanks for listening again. If you want to contact me, Jake@LyingMediaBastards.com. Oh, here comes the thunder. We'll be right back.
I remember when I was a girl, our house caught on fire. And I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me in his arms and raced to the burning building out on the pavement. And I stood there shivering and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and that's all there is. And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. And there were clowns and elephants, dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I sat there, watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what, but when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to the circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all. Fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We'd take long walks down by the river, or just sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. And then one day he went away, and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep. I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, then why doesn't she just end it all? Oh no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. 'Cause I know, just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I know what I'll be saying to myself. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze.